The Army knows it has to figure out a way to let soldiers and employees use popular commercial mobile devices on their network. The big problem for them is Apple or Google smartphones or tablets don't provide the security functions necessary to meet Defense Department's requirements. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us now with details on where the Army and other military services are doing to secure these smartphones and tablets. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So what's the security problem DOD agencies and services do face? Because a lot of the civilian agencies have solved them.
Well, the biggest problem is that the devices, whether it's Apple or Google, it's how they're developed. They use commercial public internet. You know, they don't easily allow for signing or digitally encrypting email, or even what they call tunneling back through the network through a secure connection, you know, the virtual private network, the VPN. You know, they're really based on how does the commercial internet work, which obviously DOD and many other places around the government, that doesn't quite work for them from a security standpoint. Now, DOD, for the most part, uses the BlackBerry devices, and the security around those are you know, they're just much better. I think that's a commonly known and commonly held perception. Major General Stephen Smith is the Army's Director of Cyberspace Task Force. He says their Army is turning to a third-party integrators to solve the security challenge of Apple and Google devices.
We're working an initiative with DISA today to do a broad area announcement in a sense where if you brought your own device, you would allow us to put an agent on that device that would give you a secure tunnel into a DISA cloud, into a DISA deck, so that none of the information or data can be stored on the device, so you eliminate the FIPS 140-2 or the data at rest, and we can do identity management based on where how you come in and what we allow you to do. And that can be the beginnings of a role-based environment. So if you want to be able to get down to one device, I'm sure we'll have to have standards on what OS that you'll use, but we'll have to work all those details. But working with our joint services and DISA, how can we best do that in a thin or zero client as this progresses? And so we're cautiously optimistic that we can bring these wonderful devices and the productivity and the savings that comes with it, particularly with our generating force, you know, not the tactical force.
I remember that the Army did some work on the devices, using mobile devices and securing them. For instance, I think Lieutenant Colonel Torres worked, she was with DISA, she also worked, I think, with the Army. Is this building off that effort, or is this maybe a separate effort? Because that would take, for instance, a container approach, and this seems to be similar to that.
I'm not as familiar with her work as you are, but so I'll say it's separate. But this is really concentrating on business users and CONUS or non-combat, because having a thin client in an austere environment just doesn't work. You have to have a different solution. But we've already seen the advantages of providing, you know, in a sense, just-in-time information to an employee, soldier, or DA civilian, or contractor, what they need when they need it, and being able to give them the mobility. So we can't ignore it. Our end users won't allow it. It's not the right thing to do. So that's what this initiative is.
And the broad agency announcement you mentioned of working with DISA, is this out? Is it coming out? What's the timing on that? Can you give us some perspective?
I believe it's early summer. I don't believe it's out yet. But since DISA is such a great partner for us in our enterprise solutions, we're looking to them to help us with a managed service, you know, so that they would do it for all of us, not just the Army.
And the idea behind this is to see what third parties are out there, see what kind of technology there is, and then see how that could fit onto different Android phones or Apple phones or BlackBerry tablets or phones. Is that the kind of the idea behind it?
Exactly. This is a competitive environment. So in this general arena, what could integrators, you know, in a sense, bring to the market, and how would that fit? And then there's a pretty defined process of then putting that out for a competitive bid, and that benefits all of us.
Now, I caught up with Smith after he spoke yesterday at the McAfee Public Sector Conference in Arlington. He says the devices also don't necessarily and easily accept what they call their secure ID cards, their common access cards, and that's just another concern for DOD, where BlackBerry, they've kind of figured a way around that already as well.
So where is the Army looking for help, and what are some of the other military services doing? So obviously the Army is looking for industry specifically with this broad area announcement. They're going to go out with that this summer. But other services are doing other things. For instance, the Marine Corps is taking an approach where they've issued policies and around wireless and mobile devices. Ray Letier is the chief of the Marine Cybersecurity Division. He says actually those documents are more than your typical policies.
And it takes the aspects of policy one step further, which actually shows here's an implementation process, a standard, here's a particular measure that you have to do, so that it's not just a debatable generic policy, but it is actually actionable things that you can do and follow and have tests done against you.
Now, Letier says the Marines also developed a zone approach for wireless depending on the risks to their network. This is pretty straightforward concept. Zone one is your basic security that commercial devices already provide enough security for, and they'll be used in areas like education or public affairs. Zone two is for unclassified but still sensitive data where security requirements increase. And then there's zone three, and that's for classified information, and that obviously requires the toughest security requirements. Letier says most of the time for that Zone 3, only government-developed software really works best. But he says, listen, more and more commercial companies are meeting the needs in that classified area, and that's going to bring down costs and make it actually easier to use what they could call, the classified environment with wireless devices. Now, along with devices, the Marines are also testing a concept that could make any computer a secure connection. Letier says the Air Force Research Lab created this approach.
They created this lightweight, portable security construct that's built on a CD, and you put it into a system, and it boots up a virtual system, and it contains middleware, so it can be PK-enabled, and you can create this environment, and from an untrusted environment home computer, sometimes with teenagers and peer-to-peer software on it, you can actually create this safe virtual environment and do work from a distant location. We're looking at this now in the Marine Corps to actually standardize implementations for OCONUS outside of the continental United States for our expeditionary units, so they can actually take this capability with them, and in some cases also here in the continental United States, so we can push this out. We're working closely with DOD on this and other DOD organizations, the ESSG, Enterprise Security Certification Group that I sit on, to say that we're going to credit this, standardize this, and get some lessons learned.
Now, the Marines are also looking at a host of other mobile security possibilities, including putting non-secure devices in a protective sleeve so the users can view classified information on it. And another is the idea of secure voice capabilities on an unsecure phone. Now, Letier says the Marines are also looking to develop an approved product list for mobile apps. That app would go through what he calls a software review process, where the service would actually run a tool against the code of that application to make sure the code is trusted. This goes back, and this is a whole probably different conversation we could have around supply chain management, but this is definitely all related. And now once that app is trusted, it would be digitally signed and put in a repository for others to use. Now, overall, every agency is trying to figure out this mobile wave, how to not get sucked in, if you will. They all know it's here. They all know the productivity and efficiency gains are there for people to get. But you also have a lot of concerns and security risks that come with it. I mean, even Howard Schmidt, the White House cybersecurity czar, said, listen, bring your own devices here, but it's wrought with problems, and we have to figure that out. And that's what the goal is across, I think, every agency, manage those security risks without hampering the benefits of smartphones and tablets.
Well, somehow they figured out how to do portable computers, and I heard the same problems 15 years ago when notebooks started coming in a big way. So, Jason, it sounds like they're pretty close.
I would agree with you, Tom. I think there's a lot of workable solutions, and the other thing is industry realizes that this is an area where money can be made. So they are putting a lot of research development, and I'll use that in a very broad terms, a lot of effort to give the government what they need. I mean, if you look at there's several different companies from Good to LRW Technologies that already provide kind of that mobile device management capability. And I imagine more are coming. I mean, every day we get press releases from companies touting their mobile security possibilities.